as the cafe was closing on a warm summer night. Kathy was cleaning the spoons. The radio played the hit parade, and I hummed along with the tune. She asked me to change the station, said the song just drove her insane. But it weren't just the music playing, it was me she was trying to blame. And the sky is black and still now on the hill where the angels sing. Ain't it funny how an old broken bottle looks just like a diamond ring? But it's far, far from me.
Now, you gotta recognize the voice. He is John Prine. It was his very first record, 1971, entitled John Prine. The song is one of my favorites. Far From Me, John Prine. If you do not own any John Prine, yeah, he may not be your cup of tea. But, man, if he is, just buy anything. Buy everything. Yes, I own everything the man has ever recorded. He's one of those for me. A terrific lyricist. He's one of the guys. He can sing his own songs. He's not a great singer, obviously, but man alive. His own songs are just terrific. And he can sing them better than anybody. Well, hey, they're his. Today, it's episode 4032, leaningtowardwisdom.com. That's the website. It's also the name of the podcast. Today's episode is Success Hiding From You, or Are You Hiding From Success? Is success far, far away from you? Well, I hope not.
Well, I started the engine and I gave it some gas. Kathy was closing her purse. Well, we hadn't gone far in my beat up old car, and I was prepared for the worst. Will you still see me tomorrow? No, I got too much to do. Well, a question ain't really a question if you know the answer to. And the sky is black.
I mean, is that a great line or what? The question ain't really a question if you know the answer to. It's a great story. It's a story of it's a story of lost love. Story of a guy who's wanting to get back with a girl and, you know, success, and it's just not happening. Not happening. Is success hiding from you, or are you hiding from success? Reframing the question, it has to be an ancient art form. Maybe it was among the very first instances of reverse engineering. Could be. Flipping statements around, flipping questions around. I don't know why I can never seem to find fill in the blank. And fill in the blank with whatever outcome people want. Money, happiness, fame, popularity, a soulmate. No, I'm not talking about car keys. There are people who can never seem to find their car keys. Even a rank amateur therapist like myself would be inclined to instantly reverse the question, which is actually a statement that poses a question. I don't know why blank can never seem to find me. Think of it as the reverse law of attraction. And it's not just a grammatical thing. You know, is the subject of the sentence success, or is the subject of the sentence you? It's a critical difference. And if you don't think so, then you have not watched little kids play hide and seek in the house like my grandkids do. Tag, you're it. Well, who's hiding? Who's seeking? I mean, come on, they are, after all, very different activities. Maybe they require a similar skill, or you'd think so. At least I would think so. Kinsley is my lone granddaughter. She is 3 years old. And if she's awake, she's hyped out of her head. when she's around her cousins, both boys who are older than her, she's almost hysterical with energy and enthusiasm. She's pathetic, by the way, at hiding and seeking. Got no patience, really, for either one. We're hoping and praying that she'll simmer down soon. She hides in plain sight. Even Rocky and Rosie, our two 14-year-old white West Highland Terriers, a brother and a sister, who are almost blind and very nearly deaf, they can find her easily. So I'm sitting here and I'm watching all of this nonsense unfold before me, wondering why some kids embrace creativity when hiding and why they also may consider the clever tactics of those they're seeking when they're it. You know, the kids who are clever in hiding, they assume that other kids are equally clever in their hiding, and so they look in these odd places. And of course, not all kids are equally clever. And not even my grandkids. No, I'm not harshly judging Kinsley. Come on, she's three. I'm not that tough. But she doesn't quite get it yet. I mean, after all, when she's hiding, the fun isn't in hiding. It's in being found. She's got the game all backwards. Or does she? See, this is how my mind starts working, in reverse. I'm flipping things upside down. I'm turning them around. I'm trying to see things that might not be so obvious. Is Kinsley wrong in being thrilled at being found when the object of the game is to stay hidden for as long as possible? Who am I to judge? I mean, who am I to judge her fun? She enjoys what she enjoys. She laughs at what she laughs at and turns into a drama queen, by the way, over, well, almost anything that doesn't go her way. But she's three. Thankfully, her parents are giving her daily doses of evidence that, you know, kid, things aren't always going to go your way. I start thinking about us, you and me, and how we pursue what we pursue, like my grandkids playing hide and seek, like they pursue each other. We usually ascribe the seeking to us and the hiding to whatever it is we want. But what if we're like Kinsley? What if we're playing our own game instead of the game that is really being played? I have no doubt that within a year or two, okay, maybe three. I mean, after all, we are talking about a hyped up 3-year-old who, by the way, is very verbal and goes her own way. We're very hopeful that she'll figure out that the object when hiding is to remain hidden as long as possible. It's not to go hide in plain sight. And the minute your cousins announce that time is up, you shout, "Here I am." And then you jump up and down like you've won something. Somehow that sort of makes me sad, though, you know. But a kid's got to learn. And she's very smart, so I'm very confident she will learn. Success. Who doesn't want it? Well, everybody wants it. Even people who have a degree of it already want it. Maybe more so the people who have lots of it. Isn't that how it always seems to go with overachievers? Never satisfied, always greedy for more. Most of us likely feel success has been more elusive than not, at least the kind that we most want and the amount that we most want. Our lives have had some ups, successes, and downs, failures. Okay, we'd like to even things out a bit more, but we want them on the upswing. We don't want things evening out down here, like they tend to do. Getting momentum and finding a comfortable level at a height of success, that's crazy hard. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers were in Dallas last Friday night. They've been doing it for 40 years. But even spectacular, successful rock bands like them have had huge, huge ups and downs. It just looks mostly upward to those of us that are watching, but I'm sure it feels anything but to those guys. Money is often at the heart of the matter. If we have enough money to not sweat bullets, we're okay. If we've got enough to splurge every now and again, terrific. If we've got a nice savings and all the bills are paid and money's left over at the end of the month, hey, we're really happy. Yeah, we want more of that. We want more of that really happy thing. And like most things, it's all relative. Unfortunately, it's usually relative to the smallness of our bank account, our income, our savings, because bigger is better, always. The encounter. "I can't seem to find it," she says. She's talking about success, that seemingly mythical creature like a snipe. Well, for her, it's mythical. She's been working for over 5 years under the gun. Some months she can make the mortgage. That's a good thing. Sometimes she falls behind, though, and then has to play catch up. And it's not how her entrepreneurial journey was supposed to go. She was supposed to take about a year to get things ramped up, then a year two, maybe year three, she'd break through. And by now, year five, well, she reckoned that she'd be faring very well. Not so much. Say hello, real world. Hello, real world. We talk about a lot of things, among them the fact that she's really, really down. Not feeling good about herself at all. I mean, how can she? She's failing. It's not at all like she envisioned or hoped or planned. She thinks her career's a disaster. I wouldn't go that far. In my usual fashion, I start helping her dissect things. She's got one foot in and one foot out of a number of projects. I can see it, but I'm sensing she doesn't see it. Little or no commitment. Hedging bets by spreading chips all over the table instead of doing what James Garner's character, Latigo Smith, seemed compelled to do in the movie Support Your Local Gunfighter. If you've not seen that, man alive, rent that. Go to Netflix. Find that. You got to watch it. The mere sound of a spinning roulette wheel, it had a hypnotic effect on him. But he always put everything on 23 black. Couldn't help himself. My friend, she can't seem to help herself from spreading all of her chips all over the place, trying to make sure that she has every number and every color covered. Toward the end of the movie, Latigo, he hits big when he puts $10,000 on 23 black, and it hits. No, I'm not suggesting we gamble. The fact is, I'm opposed to it, but that's a conviction thing. But there is some truth to the power of being committed. Easier said than done. Haven't we all done it? Wanting our cake and eating it too, looking for security while falling in love with risk. Well, okay, some risk. Well, okay, slight risk. But if that's not it, it's the logic of thinking that, you know, if we spread our chips around, then we're surely going to hit on something that's going to work. I mean, the odds just seem more favorable that way, don't they? But success isn't always a numbers game. It's a dedication game. It's a how far are you willing to go kind of a game. Latigo Smith was willing to go all in on a single number. My friend is unwilling to go all in on anything. She's afraid. And I'm not blaming her. In fact, I completely understand her logic and her emotion. But I know it's also the bottleneck preventing her from getting what she really wants or what she says she wants. She wants independence. She wants autonomy. She wants to work on her own projects, but instead, she's been relying mostly on freelancing projects. She's a contractor. Well, actually, she's really a subcontractor. And she's thankful for the work. She's thankful for the consistent cash flow, but she's frustrated by working for about half of what she could if she'd go all in on her own projects. And I remind her that at half rate pay as a subcontractor, she could go all in on her own work and work only half as much with the same result, the same income. And she's stunned. What? Yeah, I say, if you're making half of what you would working on your own stuff, then you could make the exact same amount working on your own stuff with half the effort, half the time, I tell her. How? I'm like, well, because that's how basic math works. It's such a simple but powerful point, and I have to repeat it and repeat it until it finally clicks. Somehow, though, I don't get the sense that it's going to help her much, and so the conversation continues. And then I ask her the question. I ask her the question that serves as the title of today's show. Is success hiding from you, or are you hiding from success? And together we start wrestling with this. Neither of us are sure if it qualifies as a quandary or not. I mean, I'm as puzzled by it as she is. Shoot, I can't answer it for myself, much less for her. And I admit that to her. It's a perplexing issue. And we both know it's serious. So which is it, do you think? True confession, for most of us, it could be either one. I mean, after all, the outcome is identical. We're still not together in the same place with success. It's just easier to think that success is hiding from us. And I think I know why. It puts us in more control. It it makes success the elusive thing that we must chase. Well, I'll be a monkey's uncle if success is going to outsmart me. Well, uncle, say hello to your nephew, Bonzo. You're probably too young to remember. Ronald Reagan was in a movie. It had to be in the, I don't know, was this thing in the 50s? It had to be either in the late 50s or the early 60s, Bedtime for Bonzo. Bonzo was a chimp, by the way. Yeah, a monkey. Well, being a monkey's uncle feels more secure than being a guy who's hiding from success. For some weird reason, that makes us feel like a failure, and it makes us feel like failure's our fault. And, well, hello, mostly it is. But who wants that feeling? Well, no, nobody. It's better to believe that success is doing the hiding, and we're just not yet sharp enough to find it. But we will, eventually. I mean, culture and society tell us that we just have to keep fighting. Don't give up and all that. It's easier to think that success is just sharper than we are at the moment. But once we learn a few things and once we figure out a few things, watch out. I mean, come on, just think about it. Success is hiding from lots of people. We're in grand company, you and me. We're in the throng of others who are also looking and searching and giving it everything they've got. Well, they say they're giving it everything they've got, and I suppose a few are. It's good to have company. It's good to not feel alone. And if you can't find success, then, well, I feel much better about my own inability to find it, knowing that you're right there with me. You can't find it either. But if I'm sabotaging things myself and I'm doing the hiding, okay, that's a whole different matter. I mean, that means that I'm even more responsible for my lack of success. Worse still, it means I'm intentionally doing it. Maybe not consciously, but it's still more my fault. Or is it? Well, feeling like I'm in the middle of a 10-acre Nebraska corn maze, I try to lead this conversation somewhere so both of us can breathe again. Shoot, I just want to see the sky again. Mostly, we joust with these two opposing notions, trying to avoid sheer focus on the subject-verb issue. Well, actually, the verb remains the same. It's the subject that's up for debate. But how do you avoid that? Because that really is what's at stake here. Who is doing what? We think knowing the answer will help us, but I'm not sure it will. Fact is, I don't know if it makes any difference at all. We know we're doing something. We also know when what we're doing isn't working or when it's not working as well as we would like. Success isn't just black and white, though. There are way more than 50 shades of gray. There are millions. And they've got nothing to do with sex. They camouflage life, making it nearly impossible to distinguish success from failure. Oh, you don't think so? Then answer me this. When did you achieve success? And I don't mean a year. I don't mean a span of years. I mean a precise moment. And unless you define success solely on money, and you're able to pinpoint a moment in time when you won the lottery or gained a large inheritance or sold a company for gobs of cash, then you can't pinpoint a time. And that's assuming you feel like you've already found success. And that's assuming that you define success mostly by money. There are lots of people with pretty great lives. They don't feel successful. And so up pops another question. What is success? Well, it seems obvious that we should answer that question first, but nobody does. And you know why? Because it's a hard question. What is success? A dictionary definition is favorable or desired outcome. Favorable or desired outcome. That is so short term, though. Our favorite college football team, they win Saturday's game. Success. Well, at least for another week. If our team wins one more game this season than last, is that success? If they win their conference, is that success? Or do they have to win a national championship to be successful? It's all terribly temporary. Our team wins this week, your team loses, we're successful, you're not. Then next week, your team wins and ours loses and we switch places. I'm in Dallas, Texas, home of the Dallas Cowboys, America's team. Sunday night, the Cowboys put a whipping on the New Orleans Saints. Boy, I didn't see that coming. I mean, I was rather certain that the coach of the Saints, that Kenny Chesney lookalike, that he would lay it to the Cowboys. This town has wide streams of emotions about the Cowboys. And this week, after that win, collective thought is, hey, you know, this team, they could be a Super Bowl winner. Mark it down. In the weeks to come, they're going to lose. And you know what's going to happen? This town is going to be calling for the coach's head again. Because that's how success sometimes works. It's like riding a 30-foot wave 1 second and then losing your balance and smashing your face into the reef the next. Success is always relative. Our team ends the season with one more win than your team. We're successful, but only compared to you. And you're a loser. Boy, that's comforting, huh? The guy who earns $50,000 a month does not feel successful because he knows people making $100,000 a month. And those making $100K a month, they feel impoverished by those that are making $250,000 a month. None of them feel successful except when they're compared to somebody lower. They may all tell you that they'll be successful when they reach that next level up, until they reach that next level up and realize, you know, this doesn't feel any different than that past level. That's a chase all its own, never ending. I remember some years ago reading about people who would get a raise, and sometimes they would get a substantial raise. And it seemed to me, and I could have this a little bit wrong, but the point still holds, that within 90 days or so, it seems to me, the article said, the average person, life just goes right back to normal. You know, we're all thinking, man, if I got a 10% raise, or if I got a 15 or a 20% raise, man alive, I'd be in hog heaven. Only we get the raise, and then all of a sudden hog heaven isn't quite what we thought it would be, and life goes right back to pretty much what it was before. And isn't it interesting how the person who's earning big money, $50,000 a month, they're looking at the person making double that. They're not looking at the person who's making $5,000 a month and saying, man, I'm blessed. Hiding from what we most want, showing ourselves to what we most want to hide from. Yeah, it happens. We sometimes run toward the very thing that we should hide from, like Kinsley, jumping out from behind a piece of furniture, announcing to the seeker, here I am. I mean, we can't wait to be found, except to the wrong thing. Kinsley runs to hide, but she runs even faster to be found. And maybe there's wisdom in discovering what we're running from and what we're running toward. And maybe the real wisdom is in getting those things right, or more right. I think that's the real reason for today's question. I've concluded that this has nothing to do, by the way, with what we find fun. Kinsley is having fun playing the game her own way, but I'm fully convinced she's not having as much fun as she'll have once she figures it out. There's the rub. Success is relative, but you knew that already. What you may not have realized is that it always will be. Always. Success will always be relative. You'll never reach success any more than Kinsley is ever going to have enough fun. It ain't going to happen. A week ago, we spent one Friday evening at Six Flags Over Texas. Kinsley, along with her two cousins, Max and Jake, we spent five long, arduous hours riding everything that they were big enough to ride. Literally. There's a picture of the kids over there. They're waiting for the gates to open at Six Flags. Yeah, go to leaningtowardwisdom.com and just plug in the number 4032 into the search bar, and it'll take you right there. And you can see these urchins that we dragged to Six Flags. Well, they dragged us there, I think. I mean, look at this kid. You think this kid has ever got her gut full of fun? Well, I got news for you. When you're a three-year-old searching for fun, yeah, you can find it, but you can never find enough of it. And that's how it is with success for everybody. Here's what I know to be true, though. Kinsley is enjoying hide and seek today, right now, on her terms. She's got the object of the game all wrong. But she's going to enjoy the true object of hide and seek once she learns it. I suspect she will enjoy it more when she learns. Maybe not. I think she'll be giddy if it takes Max or Jake forever to find her. But first, she's got to figure out the game. So do I. Maybe so do you. And when we do, look out. Boy, it's going to be a lot of fun. Jess Penner. Jess, J-E-S-S, Penner, P-E-N-N-E-R. The record is Growing in the Cold. It's from 2010. The song is Life is Rosy. It is rosy. Come on, you know it's rosy. Yeah, don't be the master of disaster. There's you a song. Man, I should have played that. John Hyatt. Anything by John Hyatt, go buy it. No, don't be the master of disaster. Life is rosy. I think Jess Penner has got it right. Be thankful for where you're at. Be like Kinsley. Be giddy with the game that you're playing. It may not be the game that you're supposed to be playing, but you'll figure it out. Just hang in there. Keep doing it. I'm telling you, it's going to be a lot of fun. Just make it fun now, as much fun as you can. And then when you figure it out, well, it'll just be insanely fun. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is leaningtowardwisdom.com. Tell a friend about the podcast. I would greatly appreciate it. I'm coming to you from Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, where life is rosy. Hey, the Cowboys won. It's a good week. Now, next week, it may be different. This is the Yellow Studio. I finally see.